two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready?
What's going on here?
Resistance is futile.
This,
indeed you are, Paul,
is...
It's in my hand, Paul!
Fan Effect.
All right. We're 1 week away from the most anticipated movie of the year. And when you hear those trumpets blare and you see, I don't know what we're going to see. If we're going to see the actual Lucasfilm logo, or we're going to see what we have on The Mandalorian, which is all those heads going by. We're going to see something. We're going to hear these trumpets. We're going to see the scroll start. And I don't care if you're 50 or if you're 10. If you're a Star Wars fan, you're getting the goosebumps when this music rolls and you start reading those scrolls. Hi, I'm Andy Farnsworth. Welcome to another episode of Fan Effect. Joining me for this episode as we get ready for the rise of Skywalker, Herb Scribner, DeseretNews.com, entertainment contributor. You've been all over the country. You were just at Disney World, you lucky guy, for the opening of Galaxies of Adventure. Is that what it is?
Galaxy's Edge, the Galaxies. Rise of Resistance ride.
Yes. And that's the new ride, right? They don't have that at Disneyland yet, or they do?
They don't yet. January 17th, it opens
at Disneyland.
Yes. May the Force be with you, by the way.
Thank you. May the Force be with you as well. We teased it. We were going to talk some more about Rise of Skywalker before. Now, we are both going to get to see this movie as soon as possible.
Yes.
I get to see it a little bit before you.
You do.
Sorry, Herb.
It's all right.
But we will also see it together.
Yes, yes.
At 5 p.m. on the night it opens.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of a 9-episode Star Wars marathon at the local Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters. Larry H. Miller Megaplex, also a sponsor of Fan Effect. We're so grateful for their support, and we're grateful for this chance to gorge ourselves on popcorn, food, and Star Wars for two straight days.
Oh, yeah.
Christmas will be anticlimactic, perhaps.
This is what I care about right now. Christmas? Nah. Nah, I'm about that marathon. I'm so excited for it.
Now, to be politically correct, because I have a family of eight, Christmas is what I'm looking forward to most.
There you go.
Now, having said that... Not far behind it is the Star Wars Marathon and the Rise of Skywalker. So what we wanted to do in this episode, Herb, is we don't know what's going to happen.
No.
I have not watched any of the commercials that have been hitting the TV over the last week or so.
Oh, wow.
On purpose, because I keep hearing people going, ooh, there's more in this commercial. I had Tyson Webb say, oh, this was the first 30 seconds of this commercial yesterday. It was so awesome, but I think they may have given something away. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to see it.
That was yesterday?
That was just yesterday.
Okay. I know exactly what he's talking about.
You saw that spot?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I haven't watched it. Don't want to know.
Okay.
But this is our last chance. This is the end of the Skywalker saga. I use in air quotes. This will wrap up the story of Anakin, Luke, and Ben,
maybe.
I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess,
we haven't really defined who's... Or if Rey's a Skywalker or a Kenobi.
Right.
So what we're going to do here, and I'm sure that there's so many of you listeners who are Star Wars fans, you're feeling the same way we are. You can't wait to see it. You don't want to know too much, but you've also got lots of ideas in your head. So what we're going to do is we're going to help you give you some catharsis for that pent-up Star Wars excitement. We're just going to say, here's what do we think we're going to see? We're probably wildly wrong. And it'll be fun to listen to this episode a week from now.
Oh, yeah.
When we've actually seen the movie.
Yes.
And we can see just how wildly inaccurate we were. Or maybe did we guess something right? I like to believe, with my superior intelligence, of course.
Of course.
At least in my own mind, that I will get some of these things right.
Yeah.
I have a feeling I will be more generically right than I will be specifically right, because I do have a few ideas. But that's what we're going to do. So sit back, enjoy, let us get your Star Wars itch scratched a little bit. And then when we're all done, join us on Facebook or Twitter and let us know what predictions you have. And of course, if you've already seen the movie, don't tell us, because theoretically, only people who have terminal diagnoses have seen the movie outside, unless you, you know, worked on the movie itself.
Yeah.
So I think we're safe from that. But
yes,
nevertheless, don't spoil it for us, because we're trying to be nice and not spoil it for you, too. All right. Here we go. I'm going to play as much Star Wars music as I think I can get away with, because I just love all of the Star Wars music. And that's one of the things I'm most looking forward to. Let's start with that. What have you heard about the music? I heard that John Williams is going to revisit all of the major themes at some point in this movie. I don't know if that means during the credits, because that's what he did during Revenge of the Sith, is they played the throne room scene from A New Hope, but it was in the credits of Revenge of the Sith, indicating that the birth of Luke Skywalker and Leia were going to be the new hope for the universe that, you know, now has fallen into darkness. And their birth signify, and he like has a couple of things where it rises and then it changes keys and rises again, and it's really cool.
That's fascinating.
I love John Williams is the music of my soul. Outside of maybe actual religious music, John Williams has the most music that makes my heart sing, and I can't wait to hear what he's done. I think Ray's theme has really grown on me.
Oh yeah,
almost
that's a great
immediately.
Song.
Just that soft little flute playing, and as they've enhanced it for the different, let's see. I think I have some of that here, too. Well, no, that's not it, but it'll come up in a sec. I'll turn it up when it gets to that point. But the dun-da-da-dun. So I got to say, of all the things, that's the thing I'm most looking forward to, because I feel like that's the only thing that will not disappoint me. That has no chance of disappointing me, John Williams' music. I could get everything else wrong. J.J. Abrams could, you know, create the greatest thing, or he could lay the biggest turd ever. But I know that John Williams' music will not disappoint me.
Well, that's one thing that I was recently listening to another podcast. Sorry that it wasn't this one, but it was
what?
I know.
There are no others.
I know. But they were talking about how even with The Phantom Menace, that movie didn't have a lot to save it. Other than, like, you know, you could argue the lightsaber battle. Yeah, Duel of Fates, right? And John Williams is like the MVP of that movie, because he saves
easily.
It with the music. And so like you said, if this movie turns out to be garbage, we know the score is going to rock it. And so at least we'll have that.
And I will own it.
You will own it.
So here's how much I love the music. I actually loved the trailer music for The Force Awakens so much.
Oh, yeah.
That I recorded it off of YouTube.
Nice.
And I actually added it to my soundtrack of The Force Awakens.
Oh, nice.
And it's like, so there was like 20 tracks on the original disc. This is track 21.
Wow. That's cool.
It was just, and John Williams didn't even do that. They used some of his themes, but it was other people that had actually created special mixes for the trailers. And I've been impressed with what they've come up with.
They do a really good job of making the music for the trailers, and it's kind of because it incorporates a dumb number of songs, and you have the sweeping up and down. And I wish they released more trailer music out there, because I think some, like any movie trailer, like the music's super good, but we rarely get all of it on a soundtrack.
Right, and they create trailer, like they create mixes of popular songs just for trailers too.
Right.
I've seen that, and then I know people want to buy that because, like I think the biggest example was the trailer for The Social Network that did the Trent Reznor song version of some other, it was like a instrumental version of some horrid, to me it was horrid anyway. I'm sure other people would disagree, but now they write mixes of songs. Beyonce did a special version of Crazy in Love for whatever, the 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh yeah, that's
if
right.
You remember stuff
that's
like
right.
that. So.
Yep.
I know that I will cry at some point. Whether it's an open weeping or just the eyes getting watery.
Oh, yeah.
And I can almost guarantee you it will be tied to a John Williams musical theme.
Yep.
That's what got me in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
When they played Luke and Leia's theme.
Oh.
When he showed up in the bunker and they played that same music that they did in Return of the Jedi when they're talking out in the Ewok village.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, you realize it's kind of goodbye.
Yep.
And it's a real goodbye because you know Carrie Fisher's not coming back. So as you're watching this, you're kind of like having the same moment.
Mm-hmm.
That got me.
Yeah.
Yoda's theme when he finally appears in The Last Jedi. Yeah. Oh, that got me.
That's a brilliant scene.
And I will admit, it's the older themes that I recognize immediately. I mean, like lines of dialogue, I can pick out those themes immediately. They played Here They Come when Chewie and Rey fly into the planet.
Yeah.
And that got me.
Yep.
Tears in the eyes. I'm so... It feels kind of weird to admit. I'm so emotionally tied to this music that just hearing it gets me a little misty-eyed. Either that or my allergies give up. Maybe I'm allergic to the music. That's the much more manly thing to admit.
Oh, yeah. No, it's there's emotional ties there. Anytime I go back and listen to the Revenge of the Sith soundtrack and I hear Anakin's betrayal or like Enter Lord Vader or...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, those just like hit deep. They just hit super deep because you just know, especially when you get tied to the story and you know about his downfall and all that, it hurts. Like, it hurts.
We did a an Arrow of Light ceremony for Cub Scouts for my son. He earned his Arrow of Light. He's 10.
Wow.
And when we were going to originally, when I got my Arrow of Light, it's like the highest rank you can get in Cub Scouts. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. But
totally not.
You can get that's the highest rank you can get between ages 8 and 11.
Okay.
You earn different things that leads up to it. And then this is the one award you can wear on your Boy Scout uniform from Cub Scouts.
Okay.
It's sort of like the Cub Scout equivalent of an Eagle Award.
Gotcha.
So usually it was presented with kind of a Native American kind of thing because that's what the theme of Cub Scouts was kind of based around. Well, we had to come up with one, and none of us leaders knew how to do it. And I remembered I had a friend who had done one similar, you know, 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. So I called him up and said, hey, could you come do this? And he's like, yeah, sure. I said, do you want Native American, Star Wars, or Harry Potter? And I was like, wait, what? It turns out that he had written versions of it that tweaked it to be like Harry Potter themed. And he's a great cosplayer. He's actually in the FanX Cosplay Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
He cosplays as Anakin Skywalker, complete with his own hair grown out.
Wow.
And then he cuts it, and then he's Luke.
Whoa.
And it's really, really, really cool. He's very good at it. And his name's Robbie Damewood. And he goes, we could do Star Wars. And the leader of just the 10-year-olds that my son is in that den, he's a huge Star Wars fan. He has a full Boba Fett armor and a full Stormtrooper armor.
Oh, dude, that's
awesome. So we're like, Star Wars, please.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And that's what we ended up doing. So he came cosplaying as Anakin. He came as Luke. He came as Anakin earlier this year, and he came as Luke for my sons.
Mm-hmm.
But the best part was finding the music mix. So when we called them up, you know, the Cub Scouts come up with their parents, even though I was already up there.
Yeah.
We played Battle of the Heroes.
Oh.
Because it has that dun, 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 and they're coming up, and it's like, it was a great thing.
That's cool.
And then when they were done, we played the throne room, the dun, 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 dun. Yeah,
right,
anyway, I'm not going to ape it for you. But,
no, but that's a great combo right
and
there.
And it was like perfect. Like,
That's cool.
It was awesome.
That is awesome. And it's cool because, like, you can use Star Wars music in, like, so many different settings like that. And yeah, and you recognize it. I think, like you said, Rey's theme from the newer trilogy is like one that it just stands out. And I hope we get something like that in the new movie where it's like you recognize
assuming that what we've seen in the trailers is correct, we're going to hear the Emperor, his theme.
Yeah.
Whether it's whatever,
yep,
we're going to get that.
Yep.
And we're going to get maybe whatever I don't know. So musically, I'm glad we went with that first because I know, I'm sure we'll hear this and it'll probably make me cry. Ugh. I should have jumped ahead. I'm going to jump ahead. This right here.
I'm feeling it.
Yeah, it's going to get me. Guaranteed. In fact, I'm going to get me right now. I'm going to turn this down because we're talking manly things. But
yeah, yes.
Music, first thing I'm looking forward to.
That's great.
What about you? What's something off the top of your head?
So this is more
prediction.
This is more specific, if that's okay.
Yeah, do it.
I think they're gonna. So I'm allowed to talk about the regular trailers.
Yes,
in broad,
the stuff that most people have seen.
Okay, so and you kind of talked about this, so I guess I'm safe. But so we know there's some element of Palpatine.
Yes,
in some.
We've heard his voice in the trailer. We haven't seen him.
Right. And that's what gives me pause. I know they're saving the big reveal probably for the movie, but it gives me a little pause that they're not like showing even. They're kind of hinting. There's that one part where you think you see his cloak. I think that was in the
Where it looks like he's standing on one of them Cobra Raider things.
Right. And
Ray's
my prediction
looking up at something.
Yeah. And my prediction, which is this is one of the ones we're going to look back in a week and be like, "Wow, you were an idiot." I don't think he's actually back.
Okay.
In a physical form. I'm leaning towards Force Ghost.
Okay.
And if not Force Ghost, Holocron or something like that. I don't think it's going to be physical embodiment of Palpatine because of the way he died, and I think it'd be hard to like get people on board with that he like fell down the shaft in Return of the Jedi, spoilers. And then all of a sudden he's like
spoilers of a 35-year-old movie.
Yeah, you got to be careful. But yeah, and then he just like he's like in physical form. I know that's not like outrageous, but like maybe I'm wrong, and it just gives me pause that we haven't seen him, and they're being very like weird about that. And I know that even like I think it was like they were saying that even one of the things he said like in one of the trailers wasn't new, like newly recorded. They had used it from a previous movie. It might have been his laugh in the first time we heard that he was coming back. I think that in the first trailer. Anyway, so that's mine.
Okay.
I don't know how I feel about it. I'm probably going to be wrong, but I don't think it's going to be. It's not going to be like traditional, like Palpatine sitting on a throne.
Okay,
kind of thing.
So because here's the thing. I think that he will be there on screen in some way. We will see Ian McDiarmid as the Emperor. I guess I could go along with you as in I don't know if he'll be a ghost or a physical embodiment. It can't be a misdirection, and because J.J. Abrams is good with misdirections,
right.
But this would be next level misdirection if when they debuted the trailer and you hear the laugh for the first time, and then they brought Ian McDiarmid out on stage at Star Wars Celebration, and I'm like, okay, if they're not going to actually do something with him, that's just too much effort for misdirection. Seems like overkill.
Yeah, and it would be. It's just like, I don't think we're going to see.
Misdirection would be. They talk about things that seem like they could be. Are they talking about the Emperor?
Right.
That's good misdirection to where all these little things seem like they're definitely pointing that direction.
Right.
But to actually have the guy appear, to actually have him speak dialogue in the trailers,
right.
That's too much effort for it not to be something significant.
Yeah.
Now, whether he's the center point. Oh, see, this is where we get into tricky stuff. This is where the real world starts intruding in on the fun speculation because you've got to wrap up 9 films.
Yep.
There has to be, first of all, there has to be closure.
Yeah.
So I better finish thoughts before I start new thoughts.
Yeah.
There has to be closure. J.J. Abrams probably feels the pressure to make reference to some other things throughout the entire saga. We did get reference to Darth Sidious by name in The Last Jedi when he said Darth Sidious overthrew the Republic and a Jedi Knight trained Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some acknowledgement to that. I saw somebody online today saying they thought they saw Darth Nihilus's face in the background of one of the shots from, I don't know if it was the trailer. I refuse to do the scene-by-scene breakdown because I did that with Revenge of the Sith, and then I had seen too much of the movie too vividly in my mind that when I watched the movie, I was like, oh, yep, there's this part. Oh, yep, there's this part.
Yeah.
And I thought, I can't do that to myself again.
Yeah,
I do watch the trailers, but I don't want to see them right up close to it because of the way my brain works. It's too... it sounds completely arrogant, but... I remember stuff too well
right.
to watch it close to. I can't forget it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I haven't played Knights of the Old Republic.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's blasphemy to some Star Wars fans that I haven't played. I own it, but I haven't played it.
Yeah, I played those games. They were
So I don't
wild.
Know the tales of Darth Nihilus or Darth, who was the other one?
Revan's a big one.
Darth Revan. That was who the person thought it was originally. Oh, it was on Twitter. Like, am I crazy or is that Darth Revan? And then somebody else says, nah, it looks more like Darth Nihilus. And he's like, shoot, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know who either of them are.
Yeah, it's pretty deep Star Wars lore. I guess you had to play the
games. I hope we get to see some Darth Plagueis. I mean, I'm okay with finding out a little bit more about Darth Plagueis.
But, yeah.
So here's a question then that I have for you. Do you believe that any of the non-film canon, meaning not Legends, but the non-film canon, Star Wars Resistance, Star Wars Rebels, the Clone Wars, and the books, any characters that are specific to those, for example, like Grand Admiral Thrawn, big in the cartoon and the books.
Yep.
Great character. Lots of people love him. He's never made an appearance in the movies.
Yeah.
Do you believe any character from non-canon will end up playing any kind of a role other than as a background shot in Rise of Skywalker?
Well, I'm glad you acknowledged the background shot because there's been...
Because we've had Chopper from Rebels was in Rogue One.
Right.
We heard them ask for General Hera Syndulla.
Yep.
But we didn't see them.
There's that in one of the trailers, like people say they see the ghost ship.
Yes. And we did see the ghost at the Battle of Scarif. And I have been told that the ghost is in, I haven't looked that close, but I've heard that it's in the big battle at the end of this movie.
Right. So those things I think happen. There's probably going to be some character, some obscure character from the Aftermath books. There's like that trilogy.
Yeah, I own them. I haven't read them. I got halfway through the first one and I was just like,
I read the first one and then I listened to the other two on audiobook. And the last one was
Empire's End.
Yeah, the last one was really good because it tied in things with Jakku. And so it was kind of interesting, but there's probably some obscure character in that book that like will be like in it, but we won't like necessarily know. Like,
well, Snap Wexley.
Yeah,
that's
Wexley's,
Greg Grunberg's character.
Yeah, so the Wexley name is in there.
If he shows up, and it sounds like he's going to, because him and JJ are pals. Where was he in The Last Jedi?
I don't.
If that took place minutes after, or you know, shortly after the destruction of Starkiller Base,
he'd be around.
Shouldn't he?
Yes.
Why wouldn't he be with the fleet?
This is going to sound so silly, but it just like clicked in my head that the character Snap from those Aftermath books is Snap Wexley in the like.
You just put that together?
I just put that together because I forgot Greg Grunberg's name in that movie. And then I like, oh, that was his name. And I'm like, oh, he was that kid in the books.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Now I wish I had known that first because I would have had more emotional attachment. Wow. Okay. Yep. I might have to give back my Star Wars card after that.
Oh, no, that's all right. We all have slip ups.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I think we'll see some obscure character like that. It would be cool if they tied in, like, I don't know, I've gone back and forth with this. I'm like, if they had Ezra from Rebels, like, just show up, it'd be kind of cool, but I'm also like, who do you get to play?
I would like that. But we don't know. See, that's the thing. We don't know where Ezra went.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah.
They haven't fleshed that out yet.
No. So it'd be kind of like, okay, well, now you're putting him in it, and it's like so random, and yeah. And he'd be kind of older by then, wouldn't he? He'd be like...
Well, he... don't know. We don't know if he jumped through time or something like that.
Oh, yeah. There's time stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of question marks at the end of Rebels. And that's, my hope is that they'll incorporate something because Dave Filoni has become such a great Star Wars storyteller. We've talked about this in previous podcasts.
Yeah.
Him and now that we've watched six episodes, have you watched today's episode of The Mandalorian?
I did.
We've watched six episodes of The Mandalorian. We're pretty good with Jon Favreau playing around with Star Wars toys.
Yep.
So speaking of The Mandalorian, I think if we get a non-canon, I mean, this is still canon, but if we get a non-movie thing that finds its way into that, I believe it's going to be from The Mandalorian. And here's one of my wild predictions.
Throw it at me.
We might see a clone of Yoda.
Ooh.
And not just a clone, but possibly a dark clone.
Ooh, I like it. I like the double there.
This is just my gut having watched six episodes of The Mandalorian. They did something with that baby when he turned it over to the client.
Yep.
They took something out of him, yep. or they sampled something from him. Mm-hmm. This takes place 5 years after Return of the Jedi,
yep.
the Mandalorian. So now we've got, like a 25-year gap?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there, 20 to 25-year gap, where if you... And supposedly the guy, the nice guy who... The Mandalorian threatens, and he's like, "No, I don't want it hurt." You know,
yeah. The guy
he's
yeah.
wearing the Kamino cloner patch on his.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Okay, so that yeah.
So
can't deny that.
There
they wouldn't
seems
do that for no
to
reason.
Be some tie-ins there. The Baby Yoda, which I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast. I've talked about it everywhere else. Is the cutest thing ever invented anywhere ever. And it's not even close.
Here's the interesting thing to me.
What is his point? He has to play a major role. He can't just be a living MacGuffin.
No.
In The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Something has to become of him. Too much effort has gone in to protect him.
Yeah.
He's too critical a role. I saw an article. It was either on Collider or on the Ringer websites that said... You know, it's a masterstroke, but it almost he almost has to be that cute. And because if you didn't feel that way again about that puppet that immediately, because you do, you accept that the Mandalorian could stop being this, you know, badass killer.
Right.
Although it turns out maybe he's not as much a killer as we have assumed he is.
Right.
As that's what episode 6 showed us.
That's true.
Or at least he doesn't like to do it himself anyway.
Yeah.
But the Baby Yoda has played too key a role in this. And then here's something interesting. Have you seen the timing for the last two episodes?
I was just about to bring that up to you.
One of them is the day before it opens.
Yep.
The other is the day after it opens.
Right. That's very interesting.
We're going to see the movie.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to see the movie before the Wednesday episode.
Yeah.
So that'll be really interesting.
Yeah. It's very interesting the way they played with the release dates for that.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing it weekly and then, we'll just put these two. Let's pick a date in December. How about the 17th and the, or the 18th and the 20th? That sounds good. It feels like we have something else going on in there.
Well, yeah, that's the thing that I found very interesting is like why, because if you're just doing week to week, I mean, you know, Star Wars fans are going to watch it. Like, anyway, even if they're, like, you
like,
wouldn't put it off to
wait
till
midnight and start watching it almost as soon as it drops.
Right. You're not going to be like, oh, they're going to see the movie, so let's hold off a week. Because you know they're going to, it's available any time anyway. So it doesn't really, so it's interesting that they played with the release dates around the movie. So that gives that's why I think you're going to be right in some way that we're going to learn something before the movie that'll influence the movie, but then also something after, or something from the movie that'll influence it afterwards.
So this is why I think it. Because I agree. That's kind of where I'm going.
Right.
We've seen the vision of Dark Rey.
Yep.
If you've watched the YouTube guy, Star Wars Theory, he's got like lots of views on YouTube.
Okay.
He does a really good job production-wise, research-wise. I find myself like agreeing with a lot of what he says. I find myself like I had thought some of the same things that he had said before he'd put it into video form. No. So I feel like, you know... He's not just I respect the guy and I think he's good. That's why I say I always try in this podcast. I realize there's a million sources on the internet that anybody could look at. So it would be very easy for me to pretend that I came up with some of these things on my own. And I did. But this particular one I got from Star Wars Theory, he thinks that scene in Last Jedi when Rey sees 100 of herself in a line. Indicates she's a clone.
Yeah.
So when she's looking for her parents, well, she has parents, but she's a clone.
Right.
So if she's a clone, then theoretically the Dark Rey we saw in the trailer could be a clone.
Yeah.
It could be a Force vision.
Yeah.
I'd believe either one.
Yeah.
Rey herself could be a clone, and that's actually a dark clone, which is sort of the whole reason that they made her.
Right.
But this is why I think... The Dark Yoda, because if it's just a clone of Yoda, that just resets. That puts us that seems to negate Yoda's entire story. If we part of the reason that Star Trek Nemesis is somewhat reviled is because Data sacrifices himself at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But then they have most of his memories that they download into the less good version of Data, the clunkier one that they find at the beginning of the movie. So did he really die? It was like, oh, we want Data's death to be dramatic, but we don't really want him dead. So
right.
Here's our workaround. And I feel like if you just have a clone of Yoda, then it means like, well, the universe can't seem to survive without a Yoda to guide him.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Or now we've had a Yoda and he died and now we just have a clone of Yoda and now they can, you know, live happily ever after. That kind of undercuts to me anything about Yoda.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of stakes.
Now, if it's baby Yoda that ends up becoming someone else, yeah, whether he's a clone of Yoda or not,
mm-hmm,
and there's been some theory speculation that somehow the Emperor got Yoda's DNA from the jacket that he left behind.
Oh, interesting.
After their duel. Or, you know, I mean, Yoda went into exile all of a sudden. I guess they could have gone to his room and found some DNA or
somewhere,
something like that. But to me, it makes more sense, and at least in fitting with the theme of what I've seen in the trailer, if it was a dark Yoda.
Yeah.
Because that would be pretty freaky to have to face off against a clone dark Yoda. That'd be pretty tough.
Yeah, that would be hard. With this Rey thing, I think what's just to hit on that for a second, I'm also leaning into that very heavily. I think she's going to end up being a clone, and that's where everything kind of meets in the middle.
Okay.
Because you had this whole thing where like people are like, who's her parents? And then Kylo Ren's like, they're nobodies. Their parents were nobodies, right? And like, but now like both can be true because like it could be like she was a clone of someone important. Maybe it ends up being Luke or Anakin, right? A girl clone of a Skywalker.
Okay.
But nobodies, quote unquote, like adopted her or like took her on and were her like parents. But like her birth parents are someone significant. So that way you kind of meet in the middle of both those things. And it would make sense if she was a clone. And it ties back to the prequels and gives us this whole, you know, and every I mean, clones are a big deal of Star Wars, obviously.
Right.
So it would be kind of a cool like way to kind of wrap it up is that like the main character is a clone. And yeah, so I'm kind of leaning into that as well. That was going to be one of my predictions that like Dark Rey is a clone. She has to confront that. And that's like a whole.
And if you read the books, The Last Command, which was the Timothy Zahn original Star Wars book trilogy that came out in 91, 92, 93, mm-hmm, that sort of revived in the public mind that, or it kind of demonstrated that there was still a huge appetite for Star Wars because it was a New York Times number one bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
Because it felt like as you read it, and since we assumed we weren't going to get any more movies at that point,
right,
it felt like Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was writing in the character voices really well. And, you know, it started 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how the trilogy of those books, now that they're not canon anymore, I don't feel bad spoiling it for people who haven't read it. But Luke fights a clone of himself.
Oh, interesting.
We didn't know anything about the Clone Wars at that point, so Timothy Zahn came up with sort of his own Clone Wars backstory in which the Emperor had these cylinders that could clone him, but the problem was there was a force echo. And so there was these animals on this one particular planet, and that's part of the reason at the time that the Clone Wars didn't work was the clones went crazy because each one of them has an imprint in the force, and when there was two of them, there was like this sort of psychic thing, and they went crazy and...
Interesting.
It wasn't a clones versus droids back then.
Right.
That came out once Lucas finally wrote them. But that was the idea, was that Grand Admiral Thrawn figures out that if he can use this particular animal which repels the force, like Luke goes into this forest full of them and he suddenly loses the force because all of them together sort of create this bubble.
Oh, interesting.
And Grand Admiral Thrawn uses one to protect him. So like force lightning dissipates. If he's got one around his neck, they try to shoot him with force lightning, it just dissipates.
Wow.
So it's his protection against the Jedi and the, you know.
Oh, that's smart.
It's a really clever plot device that Zahn came up with. And so they use these animals to, when they clone them, they're able to create them without the force echo.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have clones that aren't insane.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I guess my point of all this, Herb, is that it's been done before, so I don't know if they would want to do that same exact thing, like have Rey fight a clone of herself. it feels like it wouldn't be necessarily an original idea, and I can guarantee you fans would immediately take to Twitter, possibly before they even leave the theater, you know, complaining that JJ couldn't figure out a solution, so he just kind of stole Timothy Zahn's of having you fight a clone of yourself. So it's been done in Star Wars, I guess, is where I was going with all of that.
Yeah, and it's a little underwhelming too, right? If it's just like, what's the final battle? It's like Rey versus Rey.
Yeah. I think it may have more to do with Force Visions, and I want to talk about that in just a sec. All right, you know what? Before we do any of that, before we get into any more topics, let's take a very, very fast break, because when we get back, we have more crazy theories to throw out there. Although I think I've probably thrown out my craziest theory. I think my craziest one was Dark Yoda, who is also a clone of regular Yoda. Do you have one that can top that, Herb?
I think so. I got one.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I got one.
All right, when we get back, we'll hear what it is.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. We're less than a week away from Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, and the end to a 9-year saga. Now, that's another thing that's going to make me cry.
Oh, I just got chills.
Yep, getting the goosebumps just thinking about this. I've given my crazy wild prediction for Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. It's out there. I'm sure we'll laugh about it. Maybe I'm right. I wouldn't lay any money down on any of my predictions. I'd like to see some more dealing with that Force vision that Rey had in The Force Awakens. I felt was a lot to unpack from that.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I don't believe we've gotten that unpacking.
No.
And so I'd like to know why she saw the Vader-Luke duel.
Yeah.
I want to know why she heard both young and old Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yep.
So my second crazy prediction is I believe Hayden Christensen will be on screen in this film.
I hope beyond belief that that happens. I'm a big Hayden Christensen and Anakin Skywalker fan. I know he's not loved.
By who, though? People hate the prequels.
Yeah.
It seems like people are now at least a little more forgiving of him saying, hey, you know what? It wasn't your fault that you had to talk about sand.
Yeah. Yeah, the Attack of the Clones version... And that whole script, that's a mess. But I'm a huge Revenge of the Sith fan. So I'm a huge Anakin Skywalker from Revenge of the Sith fan. You're right, though. There was a lot of backlash to him in that movie and that series. In more recent times, Hayden has actually done pretty well.
I haven't seen him in much of anything.
Yeah, well, and I mean that in terms of like how the Star Wars fan base looks back on him, right? I think fans are itching for him to come back. And it just fits with Kylo Ren and the Darth Vader appreciation and the Emperor. Like, it would be really surprising if they didn't.
What are you up to?
Ask Santa.
Sorry.
especially because he's been, like, back and forth in some of the media. Like, he was, you know, he was in Salt Lake for Comic-Con, and then they reportedly shut down his event with Ian McDiarmid. And then there's the whole thing, too, about how he was at Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, that was at FanEx here.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people that were disappointed by that.
I'm
a
little disappointed.
And then they're like, oh, if anything, they shouldn't let him. Come on, Hayden Christensen wasn't going to drop anything in the panel. He's not stupid.
No, he knows what he's doing.
And by canceling it, it just makes me more sure that he's going to appear in the movie somehow.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And he was at Galaxy's Edge, I think, recently, and they took some promotional photos for that.
Yeah, he took his daughter, I think.
Yeah, he did. So I'm like, okay, like something's going on here.
He's welcomed back into the Star Wars family just in time.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that we get I hope when we get like Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker, Force Ghost, which I think he confirmed he's going to be a Force Ghost in the movie.
Well, what else could he be?
Right. And then next to or talking to Hayden Christensen as Anakin Skywalker, like that would be amazing because those two, like I guess technically now they've been on screen together because the updated Anakin Skywalker, technically they've been on screen together.
No, but they haven't because they don't see them both at the same time.
All right, that's fair. Okay, technically...
One's looking at the other?
Technically, they've been in the same movie.
Okay, fair enough.
You know what I mean? Anyway, it'd be cool to see them actually interact and like talk, like have a Skywalker chat. Like, let's just talk about stuff.
I would love to see the Force Ghosts chat with each other or chat with Rey or have Luke talk to his dad.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
Although, here's the thing now. If Anakin's young and Luke's going to have to be old because... Mark Hamill is old.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't Luke have to say something like, so Dad, why you get to be young?
Yeah, that's...
Or do they de-age Mark Hamill?
Oh, that'd be so weird.
And here's the other thing. Do they have to end with Force Ghosts on the screen?
Mm. So that goes into one of my crazy predictions.
Okay. So your crazy... What is the final scene of The Rise of Skywalker? What do we see when we fade to credits?
That is exactly what I had in mind. This is crazy. Not going to happen, but we're on Tatooine.
So we end up back on Tatooine. Okay.
Yes, which another less crazy prediction is that hopefully we go back to it because I'd like to see it one more time.
You did. In The Mandalorian.
In The Mandalorian, yes. Yes, I did. Here we go. You got Rey.
Wait. Did you say, here they come? Okay, let's hear your prediction.
You got Rey on the left, cradling baby. Insert any name you want.
Baby Yoda.
A baby Yoda, even. Right
Rey
next
was
to
holding
her.
Baby Yoda, I might have to pass out.
Right next to her, Ben Solo, the redeemed Ben Solo.
Okay, Adam Driver says he does not need to be redeemed.
And staring out at the twin sons, classic Star Wars, music swelling behind. They found love in a hopeless galaxy.
Found love in a hopeless place.
That is my craziest prediction. It all goes back to the beginning.
So does it have to end with this music?
Yep. There it is.
Is this the final notes that we hear before?
It's got to be, right? It's got to be, right? Like, it just can't... I can't see it being...
This is how Revenge of the Sith ended, was with this theme.
Which, by the way, that is an amazing ending to the prequels. To anything. That is a beautiful ending. So
I can't tell you how many times I've watched A New Hope and just this music while Luke's looking at the twin sons. And I don't feel the longing that Luke does to be off the planet. I know that's what the scene represents.
Yeah.
But it's just the Force music just gets me goosebumps every single time.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my kind of thing. I doubt... it's weird because that's like my crazy prediction. However, like I've kind of never been a Kylo Ren Rey shipper. Not a Reylo. Not feeling it. Because I'm also one of those people that wants Rey to be a Skywalker.
Do you?
Yeah.
I kind of like her being a nobody.
Yeah. See, that's where we're different.
That's okay. If she turns out to be a Skywalker, I'm not going to storm out and say, this sucks. Right. I kind of like this idea of opening up the whole galaxy. I forgot where you are on The Last Jedi because I loved it.
Oh, I loved The Last Jedi.
Okay.
And have you seen the discussion this last week where it's like been back in the news because everyone's talking about it again on Twitter?
John Boyega
was
like, me and Mark Hamill were kind of like, huh?
But it's forced me to rewatch some clips. And man, visually that movie is amazing. And just like, and some of the plot points are interesting, and in the way Rian Johnson just kind of threw everything on its head, and it's really interesting. And
it's the most meta Star Wars movie I've ever watched.
Yeah,
and I loved that about it. It forced me to confront my own thoughts about it.
He could have made.
I'm not sure that there's another movie that I've watched that forced me to rethink some things. Like I don't want to rehash it too much, but I went through the first time through, I was like, ugh, I wish Luke wasn't like this, just like everybody else. I had those same thoughts.
Yep.
And we discussed it at length in the lobby outside the theater We discussed it at more length a night or two later when we did our podcast reviewing The Last Jedi. I was starting to kind of like slide down to where, because my friend Aaron really didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a really knowledgeable guy and I respected his opinion. And I was kind of starting to go like, oh man, is he right about this stuff? And then I watched The Last Jedi a second time and I was like, nope, what was I thinking? And once I changed how I saw Luke Skywalker, where I said, okay, Luke didn't do what I wished he had done, mm-hmm. but there's nothing I can do about that now.
Right.
So what he did do, am I like, what do I think of it? And that's when I really started liking, you know, I loved the meta. We came to the realization, as many did, after we saw the movie, that when we thought back to the trailer and Luke says, you know, this is not going to go the way you think. Mm-hmm. We didn't know he was talking to all of us.
Right, right, right.
We thought he was just talking to Rey. But that was the meta part that I liked so much, was I was Rey.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted Luke Skywalker. Rey wanted Luke Skywalker to do the good things.
Right.
If I had a stick, I would have, and many other Star Wars fans would have tried to beat Luke Skywalker into doing the thing that we assumed he was going to do.
Right.
And so being meta, being like watching the movie and I'm Rey essentially.
Right.
I just loved that.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious how JJ wraps it up. And I've made this argument multiple times. If you can only blame Rian Johnson for Canto Bite. Okay.
Yeah.
If you didn't like that side story, that's all on him.
Yeah.
That didn't have to happen.
No. And I read.
So but everything else, you got to blame JJ Abrams.
Well, yeah.
JJ put those characters in that position that Rian had to pick up from.
Yeah.
Why was Luke on the island? JJ didn't tell us.
No.
Why was Luke hiding? JJ didn't tell us.
Mm-mm.
You know, why didn't Han have the Falcon? That right. one's, I think JJ's getting a big pass for that one.
Yeah, yeah. Or like why, there's recent criticism about how like, well, the new trio never spend any time together. And it's like, well, yeah, JJ could have done that.
Okay, you sent Rey to train with Luke.
Right.
How is she supposed to spend time? You left Finn in a coma. You got to pretty much answer why. What's going to happen to him from there.
Right.
And Poe blew up the thing and made it back.
Well yeah. And that's
okay, so everybody's on the table where JJ left them.
Yeah. And that's the thing I've always thought about with J.J. Abrams and Force Awakens. I like, when it ended, I was kind of like, oh, wow, he's in a way a genius because he does not have to deal with Luke Skywalker. He doesn't have to deal with that storyline because that's a very challenging storyline. Like, having to be the first person to bring back Luke Skywalker in a movie is a huge take. Like, it's a huge thing to do, undertaking. And, like, he didn't have to do it. He built it up.
He didn't even give Luke a line.
Right. And so now Rian Johnson does it, and I don't know why people... I wish Luke had been like a crazy hero and all this, but also it's like this dude's been in hiding in exile for years. He's grumpy. He's like old. He's like, he doesn't want to train. Like, what is so wrong about that?
Well, and I think too, if it's Luke's the great hero, but then he's not helping. Han's dead, and where was Luke?
Right.
You know, Leia's lost her son. Where was Luke? We knew that they had had some kind of a connection together because we knew Kylo Ren had left Luke Skywalker at some point. That comes out in The Force Awakens.
Right.
But we don't know why. We don't know all the details behind it. We found out the details. I mean, Rian Johnson did come up with that portion of the story,
yeah.
which was kind of cool, that Rashomon style of they retell the story and you see it that way. Which he did kind of again in Knives Out. If you've seen Knives Out, I don't know if you've seen that. It's really enjoyable. Each person tells a story and you see it played out the way they're describing it each time.
Oh, that's cool.
And so that by the time the end of the movie, you're just like not sure what, okay, whose version of the truth was the actual truth.
Right, right.
But we don't know all these backstory points. So Rian Johnson has to pick that up and say, okay, Luke was a great hero. Why didn't he step in?
Yeah.
Well, if it's just, oh, yeah, I was really disappointed about Ben, so I went to meditate to figure out how to bring him back. I had a friend kind of give me this idea, which, you know, Mark Hamill's idea of when they were fighting over the lightsaber and it flew to Luke instead, and that's how Luke made his entrance was during the lightsaber fight. I think I would have passed out if that had happened in The Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah. That would have been crazy.
I would have passed out with joy.
Yeah.
But this idea of if he just comes back, oh, Rey, you know what? You're right. I should go now. That's too easy.
Yeah,
like,
way too easy.
Oh, she shows up and asks him, okay, I'll go do it. So there has to be some. Luke's going to have some resistance, or he would have come in sooner.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why would he resist? Like, I try to figure out how I would tell a similar story based on the starting point that I was given, I don't have a problem with where Luke was.
No.
And you know what? I like to think that I've overcome a lot of things and that I wouldn't make similar poor decisions down the road of my life, but I do.
Yeah.
I still do.
Yeah.
Why can't Luke?
Yeah. And there's this whole
Why
thing.
Why can't Luke be depressed?
There's this whole thing in Return of the Jedi where, I was reading this yesterday, in Return of the Jedi, at the end, he throws his lightsaber away. He throws it away. He like tosses his lightsaber.
And we've never seen him with a lightsaber again.
Right. And so he's kind of like,
yes, we do, when he fires it up to maybe kill Kylo.
Right. He's like giving away this, like, he's like giving away his connection. He's just like, he's
giving away his defense against the Emperor.
Right. And he's just like, he's not like, because like if he wanted to be that crazy hero and like super deep, he would have kept fighting in that way or something, you know? And so in The Last Jedi, he throws his lightsaber over his shoulder. And it's very Luke, because it's just like, I'm turning myself off from the Force. I'm getting out because I don't want to hurt anybody. And so they're actually being very true to Luke Skywalker in that way, because he knows that if he connects to the Force, it creates this imbalance and then it creates these problems. And so he's turning himself away, which is why he went to exile. And so I think they get him right in that movie. And I know Mark Hamill wasn't happy with it, and a lot of people weren't happy with it, but
we all felt that way. I don't think anybody went to that movie and was like, oh yeah, that was totally Luke.
Right.
Especially, even people who've come around on it didn't want to see Luke doing that. But that, to me, was the brilliance of it. Like,
Luke got
to where he needed to be.
Right.
He didn't do it the way we wanted him to.
Right.
He didn't do it the way we wished that it was going to happen.
Right.
He didn't just walk out there with a laser sword initially and stare down the whole First Order, which is what Rey was essentially asking him to do.
Yeah.
You know, when you rewatch this, that's what she's saying. Like, we need you. You got to come back and fight the First Order. Ben Solo, Kylo Ren is going to help destroy the galaxy if we don't have you. You got to come fight. And he's like, no, what we need is everyone in the galaxy to be like you. That's what he says. He's like, we need you. You need to get more people to go do this. That's going to make the difference.
Yeah.
That's what's going to bring down the First Order, not me just walking out there.
Right.
And you're like, oh, come on, Luke. But then you go back, well, and he says it. All this stuff happened because I walked out there as Luke Skywalker, the legend, the Jedi Knight.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to give Mark Hamill double credit if he didn't really believe in the direction of the character, because he sure sold me on it.
Yeah.
And he gave it his all.
Yeah.
Same with Harrison Ford.
Yep.
Even though I hated that he got killed, I didn't feel like he was mailing in his appearance as Han Solo. I felt like he was being Han Solo, and I appreciate that. Speaking of Han Solo, do we see him again on screen in The Rise of Skywalker?
I would love it. It would be interesting if they. This is going to sound. This is also a ridiculous prediction, but like, what if he came back as a Force ghost?
Somehow,
like. It would be even more interesting, because then it like opens up like, well, then what is the Force? Like, how do you connect to the Force? Can anyone connect to the Force? And then it's like, yeah. But it'd be interesting too. Maybe they play with like some, I don't know, because like then how do you, yeah. It'd be cool to see the whole group together again, I guess. And I guess it wouldn't be like live footage of Carrie Fisher. They'd have to work in some old stuff or something. But
you know what? This discussion is making me really excited to do. Is to watch the Blu-ray extras someday for Rise of Skywalker. And I hope that we get to, once it's all done and there's no more secrets to be kept, we get to see how they puzzled their way to the ending of the story.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what ideas did they toss out? What ideas did they reject? One of the interesting things about reading some of George Lucas's early writings is the directions he wanted to take the story. And really, not just Star Wars, but really any movie, if you've ever gone through the history, maybe The Movies That Made Us, I haven't watched it yet on Netflix, will give me some more of that. But I've read some books about blockbusters and sort of how they came about. The Terminator was one of them, Jaws and these different things. And you realize sometimes there's a very, very razor's edge that these stories could have gone a different direction.
Oh, yeah.
And you think, you know, they could have done that. And of course, you compare it to what they did, which is what you liked, which is why you're reading about the history of that film in the first place.
Right.
And you think, wow, how close did it come to being completely different?
Yeah.
You know, originally it was going to be Wookiees.
Right.
But they couldn't do it. So they chop them in half, made them Ewoks.
Right.
Originally, you know, there was all these different things. And then either practical considerations came in or something else. And they just did it a different way. and we've accepted it, and we've, you know, it's canon, but it came millimeters away from being something completely different.
Yeah. Those are always interesting. I know, like, in the last year or so, there's been those, like, original concept art for, like, The Force Awakens and, like, stuff like that.
The hand floating through space.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the original opening.
Yeah, and which is funny because I remember reading a Star Wars leak about that when Force Awakens came out, and I was like, oh, that sounds stupid. And then, like, obviously it didn't happen. But then seeing the concept art, it's like, oh, that was actually a plan. And so anyway, and now I think that would have been awesome. Right. But it's interesting to see those original ideas.
I've always been fascinated by Luke's chopped off hand.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is, by the way, how the bad guy clones Luke in The Last Command is the hand and lightsaber that got chopped off in Bespin. The Emperor retrieved it.
I mean,
and saved it as one of his, like, special items.
Which is interesting because we still kind of don't know how Maz got the lightsaber.
Yep.
So we still don't know where that hand is.
Nope.
So, yeah. Anyway, all that to say, I love the original ideas, and it would be like you said, it'd be super interesting to go back and hear what their plan was for Rise of Skywalker. And even because they had the writing change, because I think it was his name,
Colin Trevorrow was in the initial planning for Episode 9, but he got taken out even before Last Jedi came out.
Interesting. So that'd be interesting, and I think I remember reading that there was some, like, I don't think they had an original script yet, but they didn't like the direction it was going. So it would be super interesting to hear what direction it was going, and those things fascinate me, especially about Rise of Skywalker. It'll be interesting.
It'll finally make sense why it's called The Rise of Skywalker. Why do you think it's called The Rise of Skywalker?
So originally I thought it was going to be like, I was on the camp of like, oh, it's going to create this, they're going to create this new, like, generation of Force users who will call themselves.
Called Skywalkers.
Right. But I now.
We've had Revenge of the Sith, Return of the Jedi, and then Rise of Skywalker. It could be Sith, Jedi, something in between.
And that I like that. That puts me back in that camp now.
You've changed your mind. Now I just changed it back.
Because then I switched to, like, oh, maybe I feel it's going to be more the whole, like, Ben Solo redemption story. But at the same time, like, I think they've done
Adam
the redemption.
Driver says he doesn't need to be redeemed.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, we've already done the redemption. Yeah, we've already done the redemption thing. And I feel like part of the reason when in Force Awakens, when he kills Han Solo, I think that is supposed to be, like, the climax of his, like, journey towards the darker light. And then in that one, he kills Solo, so now he's, like, committing to dark.
But he couldn't kill his mother.
Right. That's true. So that, yeah. I don't know what they're going to do with Ben Solo / Kylo Ren. I also, like, this is a side note, I'm also very, like, I'm also excited to see what they do with the Knights of Ren, because it seems like we are going to get them.
We're going to get to see them, yeah.
And I also want to know why, I still, like, wish that they had, like, called him, like, Darth Ren or Darth Kylo, you know, like, they kept the Darth tradition alive. But maybe this whole story with the Knights of Ren will change my mind, because I'm really excited to see what that is. And that's the thing, the Last Jedi, like, I think J.J. Abrams did set up the, oh, answer these mysteries. And then Rian Johnson kind of flipped it around and didn't answer some things. And the things he did answer, he flipped it around. So it'll be interesting to see how J.J. answers the questions he set up. And if he did, and that's also what I'm excited for. So, yeah, I still believe this movie is going to be really good. I think it'll be less divisive than Last Jedi was. But at the same time, like, no one's ever happy with endings. Like, no, like, I can't think of an ending to a major production that was ever, like, universally, like, loved.
That's fair. I'm trying to think if I can think of one where we're like, that was a satisfying end.
Like, even, like, Lord of the Rings, the movie, like, I've heard the controversy that there's, like, you know, 1,000 endings to that movie.
That's true.
Yeah.
I went to that.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the story.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, there's another one. Oh, that was nice. Oh, there's another one. Well, that was nice.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. When is this going to end?
Like, I know.
It actually had emotional wrap-ups, and you're like, oh, that's a great way to end. That's a good thing to end on. And then there was more.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a tough thing.
Yeah. I am leaning on that Skywalker thing, though. Now that you say that, Revenge of the Sith, Return of the Jedi, Rise of Skywalker, like, that fits so perfectly. And I feel like that would wrap up everything together, right?
Doesn't mean that Skywalker will rise from the dead, like Luke and Anakin.
Oh, that would be interesting, too. Oh, man. But this
if
is
the Emperor's figured out how to bring himself back into bodily form. Remember, Yoda was able to hit Luke with a stick.
It's true. That's true. Yeah, and that's the thing. Yoda really changed. That Yoda Force Ghost really changed how we see the Force Ghosts. Because I thought they were just
or
like,
we just have no idea. We're just like, oh, he can apparently hit people with
sticks
now as a ghost. I don't know how that works.
Yeah,
unless Luke was a ghost all along.
Oh man, twist, major twist. Here's my question for you.
What it'll end up being is the end of the movie is George Lucas will wake up and it was all a dream.
It was all a dream. The whole 9 movie saga. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Every Star Wars movie, especially the last one, there's bound to be some epic lightsaber battle to end the movie.
Is this what you're referring to?
That is exactly what I'm referring to. Who, when Duel of Fates hits at the end of the movie, I'm assuming, who are behind the lightsabers? Who's battling? Final lightsaber battle of the series.
Oh, man.
Of the franchise. Is it my boy Palpatine and Rey? Is it Rey? Is it Ren Rey? Is it Luke, Anakin, Rey, Kylo, Snoke, Palpatine? Like, what do you got? What do you got?
So, what do I think will happen, or what would be a fever dream in which I would have to pass out like I would have in The Force Awakens?
Yes.
It makes no sense plot-wise, and it would be roundly crucified, and it should be if it ever happens. But if somehow Force portals opened and every single awesome lightsaber duelist ever steps out and they start fighting each other at random, I would die. I would literally die. It makes no sense. It can't work. It can't happen. But like to see Qui-Gon Jinn battling Count Dooku or Mace Windu fighting Kylo Ren for a few minutes and then having to turn around like just like some big giant melee sword battle.
Oh, that'd be sick. Jedi assemble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Essentially, it would be when all the Avengers came out in Endgame.
Yes. That'd be
that's
amazing.
That's what I want to see. So Endgame gave me what I want to see, the end of Star. I didn't even realize that, but just to see all these different lightsaber duelists fight each other, that would be the ultimate. And I would cry and laugh and watch it 100,000 times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be sick. That would be sick.
Oh my gosh. So I don't think that's going to happen. However, that would be so awesome.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
That is a tough call. I think that the lightsaber battle is going to happen with more than 15 minutes left in the movie. It will end with at least 15 minutes to go in the movie.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to end on a fight.
Right.
I don't think that you can have a 9 movie wrap up with a fight that close to the end.
I could see it
on the one hand of if you're going to finally vanquish darkness, but I don't know if we live in a world anymore where a majority of the people want to see darkness vanquished, to where they believe in just that good old fashioned something is good, something is bad, something is right, something is wrong, and the wrong shall fail, the right prevail.
Well, and this is a series all about balance, right? So,
or at least it's becoming more and more about it.
Yeah.
We originally thought that the balance was there was only a couple Jedis and a couple Siths.
Right.
Now, I don't know. When the Force was out of balance. What'll be really interesting is, you know, you and I are going to watch 8 movies before in a row.
Oh, yeah.
Before you see Rise of Skywalker for the first time.
So
I'm looking forward to seeing what seeds they've pulled from. They'll be fresh in the mind for you, especially.
Yeah.
For me, I'll be watching it saying, I'm going to try really hard not to give anything away.
Yeah.
Or if I ever do give something away, you know what? I'm not even going to give anything away, but I will be interested to see what little things they pull from.
Yeah.
I worry a little bit that I don't mind it when they fan service too much. I feel like Star Wars has become a thing that's so large that if you fan service, as long as it's not that's the whole point of the movie is for fan service.
Right.
Then I would have a problem with it. But however many callbacks they want to have to earlier things, Easter eggs they want to hide for, you know, the eagle-eyed fan to get excited to see.
Yeah.
I'm okay with all of that.
Yeah, totally.
Kind of similar with Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't care how much fan service they do as long as that isn't the only reason for the movie.
Yeah.
And I do trust JJ at least that much to try to tell a story, not just, you know, ooh, you know what we should do? Let's find that, is the guy who was the bartender in Tatooine still alive? Let's have him walk behind in the background. You know,
yeah.
Is Wedge Antilles coming back for this one? Is Dennis Lawson still alive?
Interesting. He was in, I know the character was in, what's that book called?
The Aftermath books?
No. Oh, yeah, he was in that. And then he was also in a more recent one. I think it's Resistance Reborn.
Oh, right, like right, right.
Yeah, he was in that one. Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're going to pay homage to these things. The soundtrack will. I wouldn't be surprised if you see, like, it'd be kind of cool to see, like, a battle droid, like, a broken battle droid somewhere in there. Like, little things like that are kind of cool. But, yeah, if it's, like, you know.
Boba Fett. Playing a key role.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
No, like, I don't want that. Yeah. That would
or
be
like
too
they
far.
Just like, hey, let's go pod racing. It's like, what? like you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Full scenes and all that, different. Because that's what the prequel trilogy did. Like, they had these little things here and there that you're like, oh, yeah, that's kind of like a play off that. And that's like, or like you said, like in the Revenge of the Sith, you see like the little like Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
Like flying. It's like, things like that. Like, those are cool. And I like those. A lot.
Yeah. Although that turns out that wasn't the Millennium Falcon, because the Millennium Falcon had that pod on the front when Han
got
it from Lando. So unless Lando added that and then Han got it ripped off, that couldn't have been. It was just a different. It was the same style of ship but somebody else's.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm full of all kinds of side knowledge like that.
Yeah, that's good.
So, Rise of Skywalker. I mean, honestly, we could do this for another half an hour, easy.
Oh yeah.
But. In the interest of, and maybe there's some listeners who could let us talk for that long, but I think that the Rise of Skywalker ends. It will obviously end on a positive note. Who is standing there? I'd almost say as many as possible.
Yeah.
If you think about Revenge of the Sith ends, but that was also specifically setting up or supposed to be the wrap to lead into the next trilogy. Right. So it ends with Luke, the New Hope, being born.
Yeah.
Or being safely guarded by his aunt and uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking into the future, looking into the twin sons. The next time we see Luke, more or less, he's doing the same thing.
Right.
The last time we saw Luke, he's doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of Return of the Jedi, we had the big family shot.
Yeah. The last scene is like, you know, Lando's like playing the drums.
Dun,
and
dun,
then
dun,
like,
dun,
and everyone's like, yeah.
And you see them, and then that little circle fade comes down. I think it's going to be as many characters as possible on the screen for that fade down. So I don't know how they're going to get into position. I don't know what's going to bring them all together.
Right.
I'm assuming that giant battle with every single spaceship you've ever seen. I mean, how's that not going to get out of control?
I don't know. That's going to be so interesting.
How's that not going to be overwhelming to watch?
Oh,
like, there's just so much.
So much.
Scarif was so good because it wasn't an overwhelming battle.
Right.
Return of the Jedi was good because we'd never seen so many ships fighting at once before, but now we have. Now we're going to see even more ships.
Yeah. And ships that we will kind of recognize, especially like Star Wars fans will recognize a lot of them. So, yeah, that's going to be... And it's different.
I'm now less envious of JJ and what he's going to have to try to do.
Oh, yeah. This is so difficult. I can't imagine... Because you're not only wrapping up a whole story, which is its own thing, but you also have to wrap up a story that like people care so passionately about.
And you have to justify it. There has to be a build up. 9 movies has to build to something.
Yeah.
And so then there has to be a big payoff. So the real question is, can they pay it off the way Endgame did? It made fans satisfied, although there are some nitpicks.
Yeah.
But it generally people left Endgame satisfied. After a big giant battle, after all the Avengers fighting against all the bad guys, some losses that made us sad.
Yeah.
We're going to have a loss that makes us sad. You think Rey or Ben dies?
I think one of them will die.
Do you really?
Yeah. I think you got to have one of them die. I mean, I guess I made that earlier prediction that they're both going to stare out at the sunset holding a baby, but I think realistically,
so which one is it? Are they parents or are they dead?
Realistically, if I'm going with my head, realistically, if I follow the money and I follow the thing, then Kylo Ren will be redeemed and he'll die. But maybe Rey,
so like Darth Vader,
yeah. But maybe Rey sacrifices herself. To me the hurtful one would be, and they allude to C-3PO in the trailers.
But it does seem like he's not going to be the same, but he's going to provide something key that will help them to do whatever they do.
Yeah. I think that would hurt. Also, if like Chewbacca was killed, which I know happened in the Legends stories.
And that's when I stopped reading them.
Yeah. See, that I think that would be a hurt.
But it's the legacy characters that you're sad to see go.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd
Nothing traumatized me like Han. Luke didn't traumatize me dying like Han because I knew he could come back as a Force ghost.
Right.
But I still didn't like seeing him go.
Yeah, I don't know if...
And Leia.
Yeah, I don't know if any of the new characters die, how sad I would be. I guess I'd be like pretty broken if like Rey died. Yeah. I don't know. I just like...
Who do you think's more likely to die, Rey or Ben?
Ben.
Rey or Poe? Oh, I guess if you think Ben's gonna die. How about Ben or Poe?
I could see Poe. I could see him like giving himself to the resistance in some way and just like pulling that last act to kind of like end it all. I'm interested to see what they do with Finn as well. And that's kind of a sidetrack, but he kind of got shafted the last movie with the worst plot line, with Canto Bight and all that. So I'm interested to see how they handle his arc. I heard there's some, I probably shouldn't say this, but I've heard speculation that we're going to learn more about him. I think that's actually official. I think directors and stuff have said we're going to learn more about his origins.
Who, Poe's?
Finn.
Finn's. Oh, yeah. So here's the rumor. Now, this was a rumor years ago. In the early release of the toys, and they recalled this, supposedly, Finn is Lando's son.
Interesting.
Kidnapped as a baby, turned into a stormtrooper.
Well, it seemed like Lando was a very...
But people don't want that to happen because they don't want to believe that there's only one black man in the entire Star Wars universe.
And that's a really... that's kind of what like would bug me about it. It's like, yeah. But it would narratively be interesting because it's like, we know Lando comes back and it's like, what? They're just like, oh, we need anyone. Oh, let's go find old Lando who's just like... taking shots at like some random cantina. Like this would at least,
you heard about me is true.
Yeah. Like, let's just give it like a narrative thing. Like Finn's on the search for his parents. Oh, he finds Lando, gets back in the game. It's hard to say.
Huh. So we have more questions than answers, as it should be.
As it should
be. If this was too predictable, what would be the fun in going and seeing it? Well, Herb, this is our last time talking about Star Wars before we know how Star Wars ends. We will have seen Rise of Skywalker before we have seen the second to last episode of The Mandalorian.
Yeah, the timing, man. Again, sorry.
Oh, it's so terrible that we have to see Star Wars as soon as possible so we can't watch Mandalorian because we're too busy watching all the other Star Wars movies.
It's just interesting that they come back.
You know, we could cut out at some point during Force Awakens or Last Jedi
watch it on the phone. Yeah. It'd be interesting.
Maybe we need to do that.
Yeah. I think there's isn't there like supposed to be some kind of like break at like midnight? I think there's supposed to be a break.
Yeah, but that's midnight. Ooh, that's a good point. No, Revenge of the Sith starts at midnight.
Oh, okay. That'd be kind of funny.
But we'll have a break in the early afternoon.
Yeah. Either way. So interesting. I mean, we're lucky right now, all the Star Wars content we're getting. So it's hard to like, and we know there's going to be more. It's just like, I just don't want the toxic fans to ruin this for me. Like it's.
No, you can't. You can not let them. We'll enjoy this our own way.
Yep.
If you don't like it, I won't try to dissuade you. If I don't like it, you won't be able to. No, I'm just kidding. There's no way I'm not going to like it.
Yeah, I'm going to like it on some level.
And then, just as our childhood has to come to an end someday, just as things change and things come to an end, eventually we will hear. And we'll see those credits roll. And we'll sit through the entire credits, of course, to listen to all the music.
Oh, yeah.
And also discuss.
Discuss everything and then...
Or sit in stunned silence. That's what I was through Force Awakens credits.
Oh, yeah. That,
just sat there stunned.
I couldn't... Yeah.
And I had 2 days before I could talk about it with anybody, including my brother, who was going to be traumatized because Han Solo was his favorite. And then it was so tragic. I've talked about this on previous podcasts, but if you're a newer listener, he's texting me from England. So he's way ahead in the day and I'm just like early in the morning. And he's like, okay, he's like, I've got the girls. We're just about to walk into the cinema. He's like, I'm nervous, like a first date almost kind of a thing.
Oh, man.
And I'm just like, I can't respond to you right now. So I waited like 30 minutes to where I know he's in the movie. He's not checking his phone. And I just texted, I'm so sorry. And then he texts me when he's done. He's like, I'm kind of numb. He's like, can my 12-year-old drive me home? And then he's like, now the family wants to, because it was right before Christmas. My wife wants us to get together for some family time. And I just want to sit in the dark.
That's awesome.
Oh, and that's how I felt too. So I knew it. But we're going to hear that music and it'll be complete.
Yep.
And we'll have the Skywalker saga from start to finish. And then you know what we're going to do? We're going to turn around and watch it all over again.
Oh, yeah. one to nine, any order you want. It's
going to be great. That will be great. Well, Herb, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on.
We will talk after. Now, our official review, we're going to do before you and I watch the trilogies together. But I'm sure we will have you... We'll have to do a debrief. Maybe we'll do a revisit podcast where we laugh at ourselves for how terrible our predictions were.
And it'll be kind of cool to talk about watching all the movies together, right? So
yeah, and that, you know what? That's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about what it was like to watch all 9 movies in a row. We're going to be the first to get to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And because it's like a limited engagement around the just around the entire country.
Yep.
So yeah, that's what we'll do. Next time we'll have you on, we're going to talk about what it was like to watch all 9 movies in a row, to be the first people to get a chance to do that, and how do we feel having have that all complete.
I love it.
Awesome. Love it. Herb Scribner, DeseretNews.com. Check out the stuff he posts. It's good stuff. And he scours the web to find some of the most interesting entertainment articles. And give it a look. DeseretNews.com is also a Deseret News app that you can download. Also, you can get our podcast from a whole bunch of different ways. If you joined us because you came to us from a social media link, you can also become a subscriber to Fan Effect by going to KSLNewsRadio.com. You can also search for us in Apple Podcasts or on Google Play Music or even on Spotify, believe it or not. Just about anywhere you get your podcasts, that's where you'll find Fan Effect. We look forward to talking with you after you see Rise of Skywalker. And remember, we love this stuff just as much as you do.